Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Vandal Scoreboard. Award-winning Vandal Scoreboard. We can't say what award yet, but it is an award.
That's pretty cool.
My name is Mark Warren.
I'm James Torman Aldrich.
And we're back for our final episode of the Mark and James era of the Vandal Scoreboard.
Yeah. Mark is, you have what, 2 weeks left?
2 weeks left, and then I'm graduating.
That's insane.
Saying sayonara to Moscow.
Yeah. Headed out into the big boy world.
It's true. But James, how are you doing? How's your past month been?
It's been pretty good. You know, just trying to finish out strong. You know, I also have 2 weeks left, except I have another year after this. But hitting that normal April slump that college students hit, and it's been rough. But we're powering through as best as we possibly can.
Only got a few more days of April, then it's May.
Yeah, so. Maybe I'll hit the biggest comeback of all time once May hits. Or I'll be like, why the heck am I still here? I just want to go home. But how about you, Mark? How have you been?
You know, I've been all right, just kind of preparing QE to live on after me, you know, and just trying to finish out my classes. So nothing crazy. We got a good show for you today. It's actually Saturday morning. This is like the closest to publish we've ever recorded an episode.
Yeah, I mean, I did it live once.
Yeah, I think we did a live episode one time.
Yeah, it was like late in the evening, though.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And we recorded it and then published it the next day, but like did it in the evening, you know. That was a time. I completely forgot about that. But,
we went to the spring game yesterday, so we're going to get into that. We're going to start out with men's golf. They came in third at +2 in the Big Sky Championship. They came in behind Sac State, who came in first at -1, and Weber State, who came in second at +1. They did come in first place in the individual with Joe Sykes. So not a bad Big Sky Championship for the Vandals.
Yeah, you know, they'll send on one guy to the NCAA tournament, so that's pretty neat. Only the third time in history that the Vandals have sent an individual to the NCAA tournament in golf.
Well, there you go. The women didn't do so hot. They came in sixth place at +36 in the Big Sky Championship. Once again, Sac State winning. Sac State's a pretty good program.
They have won, within the last, 10 days, they won four Big Sky Championships.
Yeah, I saw that graphic. Men's and women's golf and then men's and women's tennis.
Yeah. Share the wealth a little bit, maybe? Yeah,
that'd be nice.
Like, you're already good at football. You're good at basketball. Just give some to the rest of us.
Share.
Who do you think you are? NAU and track and field? Like, what the heck?
Or swimming.
Yeah.
And the Big Sky really has some, powerhouses. I know swimming's not Big Sky, but some powerhouses in, these Olympic sports.
Yeah. Now, granted, NAU can't play football that well, but...
You know, Sac State kind of dominated the women's tournament. The closest was Northern Arizona, who came in second at +12. So a 14, you know, stroke difference there.
Yeah. Sac State women's golf is like the NAU of golf.
Yeah.
You know, they're pretty good. I think they swept last year, too. So, you know, maybe the Vandals will get over that hump, at least for the men next year. And then, you know, maybe we'll switch it up a little bit in the Big Sky and somebody else can win for once.
There we go. Looking at men's tennis, they ended their season 5-14, which was obviously big drop from back-to-back championships. That's a little rough.
Yeah, you know, bringing in a new coaching staff, a few new players, but they did get the freshman of the year. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but, you know, at least not all was lost for the men's tennis team. But to have that big of a drop-off is a little rough, but they've been consistently good for basically ever. So yeah. You know, even this is kind of like a minor setback for a major comeback, maybe.
Yeah. You know, they lost their head coach last year to Boise State. He went down to be an assistant coach down there. And hopefully next year, this, you know, coaching staff and players can kind of pick up the pieces and, you know, get back to their winning ways.
Yeah.
Women's tennis kind of did the opposite, where they didn't make the Big Sky tournament, but they did end their season 9-9, which was a huge improvement from the 3-14 season the year prior. So, you know, women's seems to be on the rise. Hopefully men's can take this dip and, you know, come back stronger.
That would be cool. It is nice to see, Idaho athletics, just in general, they're not terrible. Like, granted, the men had that big drop off, but you know, to see golf compete, you know, track and field has competed well all year. You know, and then women's tennis, neither team making the tournament, but this also isn't one of the sports where everybody gets in. So I think they only take like the top six, and there's 10 or 11 teams in the Big Sky. So if you're not at least over 500, you're probably not making it in. So
yeah. You know, also swimming and diving had a pretty good season.
Yeah.
So, you know, overall a pretty good year for Vandal Athletics. Moving on, the spring game was last night. And Coach Echo has always said, you know, the Vandals can't be beating the Vandals. But last night, the Vandals beat the Vandals.
They did. Pretty handedly, too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a... they scored, what, 28 unanswered, I think the black team did?
Yeah.
And then the white team got their one touchdown, despite having a 14-0 lead. And then... the black team ended up winning, was it 35-21?
Yeah, so at the start of the game, the white team, which was the second and third team players, just began with a 14-point lead. Mm-hmm. And so the starters outscored the second and third team by, you know, 35-7. You know, a pretty dominant victory.
Yeah, and everybody looked good, which was nice to see. You know, they didn't end with any injuries. That was kind of Coach X's big takeaway, is that they got out of there healthy, you know, and they had a tough spring when it came to injuries. They were lucky enough to have enough players back and ready to be able to have this, you know, first team versus second and third team thing that they did, rather than just having offense versus defense. But Jack Lane looked good, both running and passing the ball. Jordan Dwyer looked like he can be the Hayden Hatton of the future for the Vandals. Day-Day Buchanan had an okay day. Yeah. 6 rushes, 31 yards. I'm thinking it'll likely be between him and Cummings for the starting position. That's kind of what it's looked like all spring, and then that's also what they did mostly for the game last night.
Yeah, obviously Elijah Cummings had a good year 2 years ago, you know, an X first year. This year did not play at all. So hopefully he can come back strong and, kind of pick up his steam.
Yeah, and the thing with Eli is he's kind of one of those shorter, bulkier running backs, but he's also really fast. So you could have him as a good kind of third and short running back who can, you know, if he breaks away, it'll be a touchdown. But if he doesn't, you're still going to get that first down yardage you need. Whereas Day-Day is just, he's so fast. Art Williams was on the white team. He looked really good as well. It was, my big thing was I wanted to see what the running back room was going to look like. And Art Williams had 6 rushes for the white team. Only got 4 yards, but... they used him a bit out of the backfield. 1 reception for 10 yards. Looked pretty good. So I'm excited to see what this running back room does, just because there's so many irons in the fire. And they had, in total, what, 6? Yeah, 6 guys get – or 5 guys. Thomas played on both the white and black team. So,
but yeah, 5 guys getting touches. I think that's kind of – what we can come to expect for next season is a much more running back by committee approach.
Yeah.
Obviously, last year we had Anthony Woods, and, you know, you just gave Anthony Woods the ball and he would do great things. This year, you know, there's kind of going to be more situational guys that you put in for, you know, passing, third down, short yardage, whatever.
Yeah, and you have a bit of a younger room with Art Williams, Carlos Matheny, Day-Day Buchanan, and then, you know, Eli Cummings and Nate Thomas being those kind of older guys in the room. But Nate Thomas spent most of the year at South Dakota injured last year, so you know, it'll be cool to see what these guys do. But as you said, probably a big running back or by committee. You know, it wouldn't be a surprise to see 4 or 5 running backs getting touches every game.
And you know, I think an important thing to note is obviously something we've talked about, but you know, Thomas Ford leaving, the running back coach of the past 2 years. Deontay Cooper coming in, who is supposed to be a really good coach. And I'm really excited to see what he can do with this room.
No, I had the opportunity to talk to Deontay back in, like, January. You know, he had just gotten to Idaho a few weeks before I talked to him, and he enjoys it here, but he also, you know, recognizes that there's a lot of dudes in that room that are young, a lot of guys who haven't really played in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So he's really coming into this as new as a lot of these guys are, you know, when it comes to Idaho's scheme. So he'll be able to kind of build that running back room up how he wants to. He was the head coach at a high school over in Washington for the last few years. And to come up from that high school level, he's the only coach on staff right now that doesn't have any collegiate coaching experience. So he'll bring some new eyes to the Vandals, which will be good to see. And, it'll just be exciting to see what that running back room can do next year.
Yeah, obviously, you know, losing Anthony Woods was big. Losing Javonte McCoy, you know, the starting quarterback, there's kind of a hole in that quarterback room. People are expecting it to be Jack Lane filling that hole.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked good yesterday, 17 for 26 for 186 yards, throwing for 2 touchdowns.
Didn't throw any interceptions.
0 interceptions. But the thing that I noticed with him is his mobility. Mm-hmm. Right, he had a lot of poise in the pocket, but he was also able to get out if the pocket collapsed. He was able to, you know, he had 3 rushes for 26 yards. He's able to move.
Yeah, see, and you look at the white offensive stats. Granted, they were going up a lot of times against that first team defense, but they combined for negative 40 yards.
On the ground.
So, like, Jack Wagner, who played a little bit against Idaho State, and Hogan Carmichael, who's new to the system, both got sacked a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So
10 sacks for the first team defense.
So having that kind of, you know, as Jason said after the game, every team in the country is going to say their second unit offensive line needs to get better. And I think that was proven here, but it also shows that, like, Jack Lane will most likely be the starting quarterback. He's able to get out of the pocket, move when he does, whereas a lot of these sacks were the guy was kind of running around. He didn't know where to go with the ball. You know, the one interception that was thrown in the game that went to Jackson Eck was just a, where the heck are you throwing the ball?
Yeah, and that was Hogan Carmichael who threw that.
So he runs left out of the pocket, doesn't know where to go. He's supposed to throw it to the tight end, misses the pass. Jackson Eck, pick 6.
Yeah, you know, Hogan Carmichael didn't have a bad game. 4 for 5 for 56 yards with that second team. Threw a touchdown, really good touchdown to, I'm blanking on the guy's first name. His last name's Shook. Seth Shook.
Yeah.
What a cool name. Great name. But yeah, 31-yard touchdown to Seth Shook. He had a good game. Obviously, the interception wasn't great. Jack Wagner, though, he didn't play well on the second team.
No.
But when he switched to the first team, because at halftime he switched over, and he 3 for 5 for 53 yards and a touchdown, a great touchdown to Jordan Dwyer at the end of the game. He looked a lot better on that second team. I still think that it's Jack Lane's team going forward.
Yeah, I think that Jack Lane has just – he's proven himself – throughout the last couple of years, you know, he played in the Idaho State game as a freshman, and in my opinion, should have gotten the starting position later in the year, last year, and probably should have got put in against Albany. But you know, he's really proven himself, and he sat behind Javonte for a couple years, and I think that's kind of where he got that ability to get out of the pocket. But then also, you know, adding on to the ability that he already had. So he's seeing what Vonnie does, takes his own skill into it, and is able to be even better getting out of the pocket, and has, I would say, 10 times better pocket presence than Javonte McCoy did. So, you know, Jack Lane is going to most likely be, unless, you know, Holden Hate B, whatever his first name is, unless he comes in the fall and just looks like $1 million and the best thing the Vandals have ever seen, then I imagine it'll be Jack Lane. But he just had a good game. Him and Jordan Dwyer have this, you know, similar connection that Vonnie and Hayden did.
Because they were able to play on the second team, you know, in those second team practices for the past 2 years.
Yeah, so they were getting those reps together. JD also, you know, being able to play alongside Hayden Hatton and Jermaine Jackson. He's quick, he knows routes, he cuts well. And he can catch the deep ball. So.
And one more thing I want to mention with Jack Lane is in the post game presser, Eck talked about how quick he was able to get through his reads, and how it leads to him coming back and checking the ball down a lot more, which is something that Vonnie never really did. Lane is much more of a take what they give you kind of quarterback.
Yeah.
Which, I think the offense is going to look a lot different than last year.
And I think that's perfect for Idaho. You know, over the last couple of years, especially last year, teams were keying in on Hayden Hatton, keying in on JJ, which should have led to more touches for Jordan Dwyer, but it didn't because, JD was usually that kind of middle-of-the-field guy, and you'll send him deep when you need to. But a lot of times you're sending Hayden and JJ on those deeper routes, trying to pick up those big yards, and you're throwing bad passes, and so...
Led to some interceptions.
Yeah, so to see Jack Lane be willing to throw that, little check down pass to Day-Day or Eli is going to be great for the Vandals. You have that running back room that is, nobody really knows what they can do on the ground, but nobody knows what they can do through the air either. Yeah. So, we saw a lot of those little check down passes. Eli had one reception for 23 yards that was mostly picked up by Eli's legs. So,
and a great block by Jordan Dwyer.
Yeah. JD also, he showed that, if you're going to be running the ball and you have, the Vandals have a lot of tight ends. A lot.
And a lot of good tight ends. I was going to mention their tight end situation.
Right now, Jake Cox is out with an injury, but Mason Minnie looked good. I'm trying to think of all their names. There's about a million of them. Alex Moore looked good. So, they all looked really good, both, blocking and catching. But Jordan Dwyer also showed that if you get him downfield and you need to set a block, he's going to set that block and he's going to do it well. So
yeah, I think – something that Coach Eck talked about, again in the presser, is Jordan Dwyer becoming this kind of top wide receiver who doesn't come off the field, and how that's so different than his role in the past few years, where he would be on for a few snaps, be off for a few snaps. I know Eck talked about how Jordan Dwyer wanted to get some better conditioning this summer so he could play 70 snaps and block and catch and make those big plays.
Yeah, I mean there aren't many consistencies between last year's spring game and this year's spring game. Different format, different quarterback, all new wide receivers. Yeah. Jordan Dwyer threw up in both games, so I think that goes to show that he needs that conditioning to be better. He's going to be on the field for 70-75 plays. He can't be throwing up 20 minutes into the spring game. So, but the other thing is he showed his resiliency. He got back out there and kept doing what he needed to do. So, I think this wide receiver room is going to prove a lot of people wrong. If you look at some of these, people on Twitter and Facebook who are making Big Sky predictions already, they're predicting Idaho loses to Idaho State or Idaho loses to, those middle of the pack Big Sky teams that they're playing. We got an easier schedule this year, and the big thing is, well, who are their wide receivers? Jordan Dwyer had almost 100 yards last night. Day-Day Buchanan out of the backfield was 2 for 11. Cortez was 1 for 4. Mark Hamper had 3 receptions for 48 yards. I think Mark Hamper is kind of the next coming of Hayden Hatton, just not quite as good. You know, he's built the same kind of he's quicker. He's about the same height, a little leaner, but I think Mark Hamper is going to be incredible for the Vandals. And he showed that last night with 48 yards. So
And I think with this wide receiver room, obviously Jordan Dwyer is kind of going to be that one, the wide receiver one for the Vandals. But I think outside of that, you could see kind of like the running back room, 5 or 6 guys rotated in for different situations. I think there's a lot of depth there.
Yeah, I mean, you could even run, usually you're running 3 tight end sets to block for a run. Idaho could mix it up and put 3 tight ends out there. 2 of them go on routes. Like, it's it's going to be such a different Vandals team mm-hmm. that we haven't been used to for the last couple of years. But, you know, it's also not going to be like the Paul Petrina era Vandals where we're not good because we don't know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the third year of Jason Eck where he's got his guys. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the I would say the first year where he's really gotten this recruiting mm-hmm. class down. You know, he inherited Hayden, he inherited JJ, but he's got his guys now. And I think that's going to be huge for him.
You know, I think what I hope to see is this team. One of my biggest issues with the Vandals last year is how little they came out under center. Third and fourth and short, and they were in the shotgun. I think you're going to see a lot more under center plays with Jack Lane, and it's going to be much more of a punch the defense in the nose, run, you know, passes to the tight end, hard nose kind of a team that, you know, I think really fits the Idaho, you know, banner, you know, with the Vikings and the, like, you know, just go out there and play physical football.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the same thing. You know, we haven't talked a lot about the defense, but mm-hmm. the defense was the star last night.
Yeah.
Zach Johnson had 2.5 sacks. Jackson Eck had the one interception. He also had half a sack.
I will say, you know, probably 10 minutes before the Jackson Eck interception, you were like, they got to stop dropping him back into coverage. Have him just rush the passer.
No, it was crazy. Like, literally 10 minutes before, mm-hmm. they were talking right before halftime. And this was the first play out of scrimmage in the second half. You know, Jackson goes out and gets this interception. And, you know, Jackson is this big, physical middle linebacker. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm one of those guys who are like, if you can get to the quarterback, get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to be intercepting the ball if you can sack him for 10 yards. And then Jackson was like, well, you know what? I'm going to go get an interception anyway. Shut up, James.
He heard you, and he was like, all right.
And so he went and got that interception, got the pick six. His dad was on the mic up in the booth. Really just the perfect storm for a Jackson Eck interception there. Amari Notice also had 2.5 sacks. Jakari Larmond and Dallas Ofalava each had a sack. Like, that shouldn't be concerning, though, because they're against, you know, that second offensive line. And then you look at the white defensive line, no sacks.
Mm-hmm.
However, they had 3 pass breakups in total on defense, and 1 TFL, no interceptions.
I will say that these kind of games are always – the line is the toughest thing to judge in these games.
Yeah, you know, last year, you know, Eck was like, is our offensive line not that good or is our defensive line that good? And then you get to the actual year and it's like, our offensive line actually kind of sucks.
Yeah. You know, it's not like the defensive line was bad last year. They were able to get into the backfield. They just – another issue with this game, you can't tackle the quarterback, which makes sense. But you know, they're counting these sacks as, you know, two-hand touch, which are situations that, you know, you could see Jack Wagner, Jack Lane break out of. You know, maybe they don't bring him down because there were, you know, countless times last year where we had guys in the backfield get their hands on the quarterback and the quarterback slipped out. You know, they go for our tackle too high and you know, they fall off.
See, and that's what I'm excited about. You know, the new defensive coordinator, I can't think of his name, but having this, you know, new era of defense under Jason Eck, where you're hopefully going to see more guys wrapping up, more guys getting those tackles down, whereas last year it was a lot of hit the guy, hope for a fumble.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping to see more of that, you know, what college football should be, where you're tackling the guy, you're getting him by the ankles if you need to, you're making contact, but you're continuing through rather than just –
I'd rather have, you know, 5 sacks in a game than a fumble.
Yeah.
You know, I want that quarterback on the ground.
Exactly. Especially when, you know, when you go to Bozeman halfway through the season, which is the second toughest environment to play in the Big Sky Conference. If you're not getting back there and sacking Tommy, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like Tommy Mellott is one of the best running and passing quarterbacks in the Big Sky Conference. And if you're not getting back there and sacking this guy, especially when you're in Bozeman, you're probably not going to win. You know, Idaho got lucky last year that him and Sean Chambers both had an off game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Sean Chambers doesn't return, so that there's a boost for the Vandals a little bit. But, you know, if you want to be competitive in the Big Sky Conference mm-hmm. and you're non-sacking the quarterback, you're not going to be competitive in the Big Sky Conference.
Yeah. You know, I think that this defense line is going to be good, though. I really think that they're going to kind of take this defensive line and linebackers, the front seven, they're really going to take a step up. Like you said, Dan Jackson, the new defensive coordinator, mm-hmm. I hope that he can, you know, teach these guys how to tackle a little better. You know, you saw the pursuit in the backfield already. Just got to finish it.
Yeah.
You know, I want to talk about the Vandal offensive line, though. Obviously, you know, like you said, major liability last year. Didn't let up any sacks. They all have had another year to gel. You know, 4 out of 5 starters are returning. So, you know, I think that this offensive line is going to be a much improved offensive line from last year. You know, and hopefully Jack Lane can, you know, stay in the pocket more than he's out of the pocket.
Yeah, I also think that it'll be nice because Jack Lane, we've seen how good he is, how mobile of a quarterback he can be.
Mm-hmm.
So if he does get flushed out of the pocket a little bit, this offensive line is still going to hold up long enough for him to be able to make those big runs. We mm-hmm. saw it last night. You know, he'd get wide open lanes to run and probably could have gone for an extra 10, 15 yards on some of them if he, you know, if they were playing full contact with the quarterback. So I think that this offensive line, even though, you know, 4 out of 5 guys mm-hmm. are going to be the same, they're going to be so much better than they were last year. I think it's also going to be big that they have a center who can be their center for the entire year,
mm-hmm.
who has shown that he's not as bad at false starts, knows when to snap the ball, is better at knowing the cadence. And he's going to – I can't think of who it is. I'm terrible at knowing who the offensive linemen mm-hmm. are. That's probably my biggest flaw is I don't know who the players are who – actually really matter. You know, I could talk about Jack Lane and Jordan Dwyer all day, but you want me to talk about a left tackle? Okay. But, you know, that offensive line is so much better than it was mm-hmm. last year, and it's the same guys, but they've had this opportunity. You know, they're all young.
Yeah.
So being able to have this second year together, and they'll be playing at a higher level than they were last year, blocking better, snapping the ball better, just knowing the Vandals offense better, and it's going to lead to improvement for the Vandals. They'll probably end with around the same record of
mm-hmm.
9-2, 9-3, whatever. But it'll be a good year for the Vandals, and I think, you know, there are a lot of questions that we still have to answer. You know, mm-hmm. what that full wide receiver room is going to look like, what that quarterback room is going to look like when there's full pressure coming at them. You know, what the defensive line is truly able to do, how well the offensive line is really going to hold up. You know, and the nice thing about the spring games is you get to answer those questions a little bit, but mm-hmm. you're never going to fully know until you go yeah. to Eugene and play one of the best teams
in the country,
what used to be known as the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. Like, wherever Oregon is at now, one of the, you know, two mm-hmm. conferences that are left in college football. You know, that's going to be a big proving ground game for the Vandals. You know, they can either lose by 50 like they did to Oregon State a couple years ago, or they can make it competitive.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's going to be a big game for the Vandals is how well can our defense mm-hmm. stop one of the better teams in the country before you travel down to Wyoming, you know, one of the better teams in the Mountain West, but still not a great team. And then you come and you play, or you go and play SF Austin or whatever the heck they are.
After Wyoming, it's back in Moscow. Albany Christian.
Yeah. So, you know, you have these two games at the beginning of the year that are going to mm-hmm. be, you know, FBS opponents that are really going to prove how good the Vandals' offensive line and defensive line are. You're not going to get that during the spring game. You're not going to get that during fall practices and fall scrimmages.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, come the end of August, beginning of September, that's when we'll know who the Vandals are.
Yeah.
And even if they lose, you know, they lose to Oregon by 40, how do they look in the loss?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they lose to Wyoming, which not a lot of people are expecting, but could happen, you know, why did they lose? And then you come back home, and if you lose to Albany, like, at that point, throw the season away. Mm-hmm. If you can't tell, I have a newfound hatred for Great Danes. I used to really like my friend's dog named Rugby, and now I hate him. So, you know, but it'll be a good first few games for Idaho to really figure out what they need to do. And the nice thing is, you know, those two FBS games, losing doesn't really matter. Winning is huge. Just ask UC Davis. So Idaho is going to have those two big proving games at the beginning of the year, but they looked good last night. I was really impressed with how the defense did. Even more impressed that Jack Lane performed as well as he did, almost passing for 200 yards. So
yeah. Well, James, I would be remiss if we didn't end the last Fan of Scoreboard episode without a score prediction. So, you know, I know we are 6 months out of the Oregon game, but we have to do it to end the scoreboard.
I wish I knew just how good Oregon was last year. We should have brought Jaden on for the end of the show.
Yeah. They lost their starting quarterback, Bo Nix, got drafted to the Broncos.
Poor guy. when Idaho beat SIU last year, I had high hopes going into the Oregon game. And then we lost to Albany, and my hopes went down a little bit. And then Javonte McCoy enters the portal, and I was like, oh, I don't know exactly how we're going to look. But I was really high on Jack Lane. So I think if Jack Lane plays the best game of his life and the offensive line holds up as well as a brick wall can hold up, I'm going to say Idaho loses. I don't predict Idaho losses on here very often, so that might hit us a little bit. But I'm going to say that Oregon wins. What's a good football score? 35-21.
There you go. You know, as someone, I grew up as an Oregon fan. So, you know, it's a win-win either me for me. I think Idaho's going to win this one. All right, I remember in my NCAA 14 save, I came this close to beating Oregon with Idaho. I think it was an overtime. I lost by 3 points. So I'm gonna reverse the score.
You didn't restart it?
No.
You know, you're not a true NCAA football player, is what I'm hearing.
I'm gonna go 54-51. Okay. Idaho wins. Jack Lane's gonna lead this team to a shootout, and Vandals are gonna come out on top in Eugene.
You know what's wild is if you beat Oregon at the beginning of the year, you can probably go 1-10 and still make the playoffs.
Yeah, probably.
Like, I think we should give a final like record prediction as well, since you know you won't ever be back on the show.
Yeah, I won't. So last year we went 9-4. I'm gonna assume we get 10 wins.
10 wins.
I think that this is going to be a better team in the trenches, and that's gonna.
So we only lose one game.
Yeah.
Who do we lose to?
It's tough to beat Montana State.
It is tough to beat Montana State.
We beat them last year. We're not at home this year.
And that's why I'm going to go Vandals finish 9-2, loss to Oregon, loss in Bozeman. And I say that because in the history of Idaho and Montana State playing each other, I don't know if either team has ever won on the road. It might have happened like once or twice way back in the day, but in modern history, neither team has won on the road. They've gotten really close. You know, Idaho only lost by 4 or 7 a couple years ago, in the final year of Paul Petrino, which is crazy to think that the Vandals almost beat Montana State in the final year of Paul Petrino. And then it didn't play them my sophomore year. And then this last year, they come here, lose by 3 because 6'9" people don't know how to kick. But yeah, so I think 9-2 is good for Idaho. I'm from the state of Montana, so like it's tough to root against Tommy Mellott, and I'll take finishing out my collegiate career 1-2 against the Bobcats because at least that win was at home.
Yeah. So. We forgot to talk about how great special teams was in the spring game. Great punting, you know, some really good kickoffs.
Yeah, I think Cam Pope was the main kicker. He looked incredible. LJ Harm looked really good punting the ball. I don't exactly know what they'll look like for kickoffs. Owen Forsman had a couple.
Mm-hmm.
He's a left-footed kicker. I think that, I told this to you. I think Owen Adams coming out of Laurel, Montana, I know, a little biased, but whatever, could be an incredible kickoff specialist for the Vandals, if not this year,
mm-hmm.
next year if he sticks around. But, you know, they looked good. I wish we could see returns.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was one of the big things that the Vandal lose with JJ leaving, is who's going to be that return man. You know, they got mm-hmm. the guy from Weber. JD was returning some kicks. Eli was returning a bit. But it's going to be tough to fill that position with JJ no longer there.
Yeah. Thank you all, as always, for the past 2 years, for listening in. It's been super fun to get to cover this Vandals team. I'm excited to see where they go in the future.
Excited.
There you go. I've been Mark Warren. You can follow me on Twitter or X at MarkWarren1832 to stay up to date with everything I do.
And for potentially the last time, I might come back next year. I don't know yet. My name has been James Torman Aldridge, and you can follow me on X or Twitter at James Torman Aldridge 25.
There we go. Thank you all so much for listening again. Goodbye, everyone.